Hey everybody, welcome to the Dennis Poulette podcast, the podcast where we are all about leading and launching our teenagers. I'm here to help parents to bring these conversations to light so that we can all be better parents and help our kids as they grow up. And so today we have a very special guest. His name is Kevin Colby, and it is so awesome to have him. The topic for today is how to help your special need kid and or how to be a better friend to a parent of a special needs child. We all have our difficulties and our challenges, and this is one that I have really, really seen just being part of a lot of my friends' lives. And so I wanted to talk to Kevin and talk about his journey. You're not gonna wanna miss it because there are so many nuggets in this conversation that we have about caring for, helping, living through, walking alongside special needs kids. And so be sure to stick around for this interview. I know you're going to enjoy it. Like I said, I am here today with Kevin Colby, a friend of mine, and today we're going to be talking a little bit about his journey, the way that God has been working in his life as a parent with a child with special needs, all of that stuff. So I'm going to let him introduce himself. Kevin, are you there?
I am.
All right. Yeah. Why don't you just go ahead and introduce yourself? So glad to have you. Thank you for being here. Let me know a little bit about you.
So, and by the way, I'm pumped to be here. Thanks for having me on. My name is Kevin and my last name is Colby and my business is Kevin Colby Media. I joke that I wanted to create a business name I could remember. At least most of it, right? I'm in North Carolina. My background is video and marketing. I worked, started in radio, worked in television for a long time, and then the position was cut. Started my own company, my own business, and I help people get into and grow with video. So that's what I do. That's what I love. I work out of my home office and have a beautiful wife and three kids. Our oldest is married and our daughter is married this year. And we have a youngest one that we refer to as little dude who has special needs. That's what Dennis was mentioning. And, other ways I describe myself, I'm a TV watcher, music lover, louder, the better. Batman fan, like crazy coffee drinker. And I like to consider myself a Jesus freak because I also think DC Talks Jesus Freak was probably one of the best albums.
That's right. That's for sure. So tell me a little bit about Little Dude, first of all. Love that nickname, by the way. That's awesome. Let us know about him, because I know that what we really want to talk about is special needs and how God brings us through these challenges that life brings at us. Yeah. And so as I've been watching you from afar and watching what you guys have been doing and the things that you've been going through and the obstacles that have been placed in your path and just the way that you have been brought together as a family, I'm really interested in this story, really interested in what God's been doing. So give me kind of the backstory of Little Dude.
So he's 12 and he has something that's called the official diagnosis is Lennox-Gastaut syndrome, which we'd not even heard of. And what it is, it's kind of like a very high form of epilepsy, but he's got some other issues that developed at birth and things like that. He's adopted. So we adopted him when he was very, very young. So some of these were part of his story and his life. So basically in his life, he can't talk, but he can make noise. And I always hate to dwell on the can't. So that's why I always throw in what he can do. You know, he can't walk, but he can kick and move his feet and everything like that. And he can kick you, so you got to be careful. And he has low body mass, so it means he needs to be supported. So, like, he can't sit up in a chair by himself. He's always got to be supported against something. But he can grip, and like I said, he can make noise. He lets us know a lot with his eyebrows. you know, he's developmentally delayed. He's probably, I think I mentioned he's 12. He's probably on maybe a two or under 2 years old or under developmentally, and that may be where he remains. And so, as it was described to us once, and it's going to sound cold and cruel, but this is, as you, when you start kind of being around special needs, this is how things are explained. It's like, imagine his brain is more like a very slow dial-up modem, which some people have will have no idea what I'm talking about. And so he processes slower. So if I go to him and I say, his name's Elias, if I go say, hey, Elias, I'm going to pick you up and we're going to go and we're going to cuddle on the couch. Is that okay? Is that something you want to do? He's not processing that. So we try and say, we always talk to him, not at him. And we always explain things, you know, hey, I'm getting you up. But even on choices, and we give him choices, we make it very simple. And Dennis, this is something we're still learning. And my wife, by the way, probably should be the one you're interviewing, because she's far better at this than me and a former teacher.
That's the way it normally is.
Oh, I tell you.
Wives are the ones who know how to deal with it.
Kevin, what do you bring to the table? It's like very little.
Tell me everything you've learned from her. That's what we're really talking about.
But it's kind of like, you know, do you want to do this or do this? And we wait, and then we present those again, and we're looking for signals. And sometimes you don't get them. And sometimes it's like, okay, you know, but we try and not say things like, which is, you know, hey, do you want to go for a walk? He may give you the eyebrows up, but then we're also trying to get him to understand like yes and no and this and that, just basic things. So, I mean, we've been very blessed with amazing teachers, amazing doctors, amazing physical therapists and occupational therapists and stuff like that. And, you know, since we're both believers, I don't believe in chance. I don't believe in things just happening. I think God has put the surgeons and the doctors and everybody in our lives for a reason to help him. And, you know, it also is part of his story and our story as well too. So how can we turn that around and help other people and bless other people? So that's it. That's the story. That's a little dude in a nutshell.
Yeah. So I was, you know, I just been trying to think about that. Like, to me, I've been saying this a lot lately. And if anybody listens to my podcast, they'll know that I've been saying that growth is in the struggle, right? Mm. And that the things that we are challenged with are the things that I believe God is really trying to help us grow in those things. And so what I want to do today more than anything is just to talk a little bit about that. Like, what are the things that you have learned, and what are the things that maybe would help somebody who has a child with special needs?
I mean,
there are different kinds of special needs. There's not just this, you know, this challenge that you guys are presented with. There are some kids who are, you know, have social anxiety. There are some kids who have autism. There are some kids who have various levels of different kinds of things. And so I think the thing that pulls us all together whenever we're dealing with obstacles and problems are those things that we can learn despite the challenges that we're going through. I mean, nobody wakes up and says, hey, I really wish I had a challenge today so that I could get better.
I don't ever say that.
But at the same time, I do believe that there are these things that we are challenged with. Yeah. And so what are some of the things maybe a story or two that you have had to go through and something that God has taught you because of that?
Well, you know, it's interesting. One of the things that I've said before, I mean, I've had the opportunity throughout his lifetime to share, you know, his story and our story. But, you know, one of the things that I believe is that, you know, we all have special needs. We all are special needs kids. We just have them in different ways. Because if we don't have special needs, then we don't need God. And I need God all the time. So that's one thing. But the other thing is that, you know, we've learned that, you know, is that patience has not been one of my gifts ever. I share this story that when I was little and I would get models, you know, model cars and model boats and model monsters and stuff like that. But I didn't understand, the concept of paint drying or glue drying. And so I would want to just put the whole thing together right then. And so I had a collection of kind of deformed cars and jet planes and tanks because, you know, the glue would be drying and then I wouldn't paint them. They were all white because I just didn't do that. And I found out later my dad would tell friends and family, don't get him any more models. It drove him nuts because, you know, he wanted to put a couple of pieces on and wait a day. And I'm like, no. Well,
yeah. Nobody wants to wait,
you know.
Come on.
And anybody who has children immediately will know that there's a part of your schedule that just doesn't matter anymore. You know, I joke with people before they have kids. They'll say, what's the one thing you can tell me? It's like, store up all your sleep you can now, because you probably won't sleep again until they're probably in college and maybe not even then. With special needs, though, you have to decide. I mean, you realize that there is no normal. I mean, the irony is, you know, with the world we're in now, people talk about the new normal. It became the buzz phrase for a while. It's like, you know, we haven't had a normal, I don't know when, because, you know, he may wake up when he wants to, he needs something. And then all of a sudden it's like the schedule you thought you were going to maintain, you know? So what happened to me is when in the last TV station I was at, I was the creative director, it was a Fox station, and they eliminated my position, which I felt would be coming because just the way the industry was going. And, you know, I kept thinking, well, you know, maybe I'll work at another TV station. Maybe I'll do this, blah, 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 blah. And what I realized, I remember saying to my wife, is that God was like, I've got another chapter for you. Are you going to trust me? You keep talking trust, Kevin. Are you really going to trust me? Well, what's ended up happening is by having my own business, and sure, I make probably less money than I did when I was working in television, but it's allowed me to adjust my schedule, and then my office studio's at home. So it's allowed me to adjust my schedule to be able to, you know, I don't have to take time off if he's sick or to go to the doctor or he's going to have a surgery or something like that. And I think that was God saying, hey, look, you know, this is what I need you to do right now, you know, and I'm going to put you in a position, by the way, I'm going to take care of you because that's what I do.
Yeah. So there's like this, this automatic idea that God is taking care of, even though maybe you might have been able to arrange your own kind of schedule or whatever, mm-hmm. but at the same time, there's always this underlying God is working in the middle of the issues, in the middle of the challenges.
Yeah.
God is working and God is doing his thing, even though, you know, a layoff is not exactly a great thing, but at the same time, there is something that God is doing.
And So, and I may not see it at the time.
Yeah.
But there's that trust and that faith factor. And that's probably a whole nother episode of me really coming to terms with trust and God. But you know, I mean, the things with having a special needs child is that, you know, I think a lot of times people pity you. And we don't want that. We do like people to understand and ask questions. But sometimes we get adults that'll get the, you know, what's wrong with him? As if there's something wrong with him. And then you get a child who will say like, oh, and children react differently. You know, like he's tube fed, which means he has a hole in his belly, which means that, you know, his food, everything he takes, medicine, everything, nothing goes by mouth because we found out he's a silent aspirator, which means he was choking and we didn't know it. And so that's where the tube came in. And so, you know, he eats, I think, 5 times a day. And he has to he's actually now on a keto diet to see if it would help with his seizures because he has seizures, and it has been, and it's been an absolute godsend blessing on that, right?
Yeah. And that brings me kind of, sorry to interrupt, but it kind of makes
me think that's fine.
Like, a lot of times I think it is like this, and I would get frustrated with this because I get frustrated with trial and error, like trying to figure out what's wrong, having to go through another like mini crisis, and then going to the doctor, having them say, oh, well, let's try this. You know, I mean, every time you go to the doctor, I'm sure there's a new test and there's a new thing. And then there's a new, hey, it might be this or it might be that or it might be this other thing. So we're going to try 14 different things or one thing and see if that changes. And so, like, to me, I think that that grows the patience of the parent, right? That that makes you have to be like, okay, here we go again. And I can imagine conversations that get that happen between parents who are like, here we go again. Like, I'm not sure if I can trust these people. We trust them. We love them. Yeah. But they don't know what they're doing. Like, that's the way I would react, at least.
And especially in a faith-based, you know, discussion. I mean, you've got to start deciding, you know, okay, am I going to really trust God on this or not? I don't know what to do. And I, you know, here's the thing, though, Dennis, I don't want anybody listening or watching this to think that while Kevin has no frustrations and he has no fear and he has no worry, because that's not the case. And you get to a point where it's like, God, I don't know what to do. Elias is nonverbal. So like recently he had spinal fusion surgery, which ironically our daughter had 7 years earlier, almost to the day. Well, our daughter is vocal. Very vocal. So
we have to edit that part out.
Yeah. So we knew when things hurt her and we knew what was going on with Elias. He can't say my back is hurting or my tummy's hurting or my head is hurting. And so you start, you try, and he has a extremely high tolerance of pain, more than I do. So it is frustrating to go, I don't know what's bothering you. I don't know what's there. But knowing, though, that we have been surrounded by specialists and doctors and checking in and things like that. And you know, the seizures, we will always have doctors say, and even specialists will describe a typical seizure. It's like, well, there isn't one. Describe a typical day. Well, there isn't one. I mean, we have a routine and we have schedules, but you know, if he, like yesterday or day before, he decided at 4 a.m, he wanted to start talking. And his talking is just kind of like making noise and stuff like that. And, you know, you can go in there and say, hey, honey, it's really time to sleep. And he's like, okay. You know.
Yeah. 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 That's that. Yeah. I can imagine. Yeah, so I was thinking too, like there are parents, you know, sometimes guys like me will look at parents who have kids with special needs and will be like, I cannot believe how awesome you are. And I, you know, like I don't know how you do it. Like I'm sure that I've heard people, you know, I've seen on Facebook people say that to people who are, you know, special needs parents and stuff. Like, this is going to be a really weird question, but how does that make you feel? Because I feel like it would, like, cause I mean, I do in my mind think like what a different life you are living than the life that I'm living and what different challenges God has given you than the challenges that he's given me. I still have challenges. And like you just said, like, oh, well, it's not like, you know, it's a ton, it's a lot of, everything's different for everybody. Right. But like when somebody like just heaps this praise on you guys, like, wow, you guys are just amazing. Like, like you just said, it's uncomfortable.
No, it's very uncomfortable. It's very uncomfortable. And I mean, and I'm glad you said that, like you have challenges and stuff like that. You know, a friend of mine, years ago was giving a talk and he said something, I don't know if it was a quote he made up or a quote he borrowed or whatever. And it's always stuck with me. He goes, you are unique, just like everyone else. And that's always stuck with me because it's so easy to feel like I'm the only one who has this problem, fill in the blank. I'm the only one who has this challenge and whatever. And we all have different challenges. Completely. We all have different struggles. We all have different things. But yet at the same time, they're not that unique, especially to God. So yeah, when somebody goes, "Wow, you guys are doing it," and we get that, and it's very uncomfortable, and we try and shun it off because we feel like we're doing what we were meant to be doing.
Yeah,
you know, I do believe that God has plans for us, and I think He changes those based on what He wants us to do or what He needs us to do. Not that He needs anything, but hopefully you know where I'm going with that.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, when we moved from Tennessee to North Carolina, I knew why we were here, but over the years, I think that's changed, you know. And so I don't think, and my wife feels the exact same way, we are not doing anything special. We're doing what we need to be doing, and we're learning. So yeah, it gets very uncomfortable when somebody says that, you know. And now if they want to talk about Elias, I'm all good with that all day long. And I will say again, my wife deserves far more of the praise, the attention, and stuff like that than I will. But
yeah, talk to me a little about that. Like, how has having a child with special needs impacted your marriage? Like, that to me is another topic that I don't know that we talk about. But how?
Well, you know, I mean, this year's been a crazy year. And not for why everybody thinks. I mean, our oldest son got married and our daughter got married all within several months of each other. And they were different marriages and different relationships. And so, you know, we go from a house of five to a house of three quickly. But I think, you know, if anything, Lisa, my wife, I think we've gotten closer and stronger. We've always been that way. I mean, we just have never had a ton of fights. We disagree on things, but we've never had a ton of fights. We have set things in play. In fact, she joked with me the other day. She said, "Well, you know, it just dawned on me. It used to be when you went to the office, you would kiss me goodbye and say, you know, love you, see you tonight." And I'm like, "Oh yeah, I don't do that anymore." So now we've made a big deal about that. Like, going up to the office, which is just above the kitchen.
Yeah. You know, I'm going to work now.
Yeah. But the funny thing is we've figured out roles to help our family and especially Elias that we never sat down and said, "Okay, so if you cook, then I'll clean up and then I'll change him in the middle of the night and I'll feed him." We kind of fell into that. And that's how we support each other. You know, I mean, Elias hasn't been to school since March, and he may not be to school again for another year. Part of that through surgery, part of that because of the pandemic. And so a lot of that has fallen on her. And so then, you know, the guilt trip falls on. It's like, man, you know, I need to be downstairs helping more. But the nice thing about working here is if something happens, I can be. But yeah, her background is teaching. I mean, she has a master's in education. So not only do I know she's smarter than me, she has a degree to prove it. She can show it. See?
Yeah. Not only that, she doesn't just say it, she can she's got other people saying it too.
Yeah. And so when our oldest was our youngest, she decided then that, you know, what if I just stay at home? And what if I do that? And we were like, you know what? Then God will provide if that's what we need to do. And so Dennis, she's so talented on so many levels, but you know, God has used her that way because quite honestly, then when Elias came along, if we had both been working parents and things like that, that would have changed some things. And she, oh my word, I'll tell people this. When I've had to take Elias by myself in to see the doctor or something like that, and they start rattling off all the things that I should know, well, you know, all the meds he's on, and is he still taking this and his schedule? I'm like, can I get my wife in here?
Yeah, I do that.
I've told her before, if you go on a trip, we got to talk. I got to have all this because, like, the keto diet he's on has to be, we have to make it every day. And so, and it has to be made to like the nth degree of stuff. And I'm like, honey, please just don't go anywhere.
Yeah. Please. I need your help. Like, yeah.
She's like, you're such a big child. Can't
we're
you
not
do
doing
me?
A very good job of representing that, the men around here. But it's I'm the same way. And that my kids don't even take that much medicine. But, you know, oh, well, what do you need for your lunch today? I don't even know that, you know.
Yeah.
The wives are usually the ones who know all of that stuff. It's amazing. Yeah. I was going to ask the question too, like, what kind of advice, like, let's say I'm your, you know, a guy that goes to the same church that you go to, and I know that you have these special challenges with your son. Like, how can I help my friends who have kids with special needs?
Boy, that's a great question. This is going to sound weird, but I think the assumption is immediately that sometimes people with special needs, and I won't speak for other folks. It sounded like I was going to. They're a charity case. And I think it's sometimes people, they want to help. They don't know what to do. So they just start doing stuff. And it's like, well, let's just have a conversation. I'll be honest. I always say that. Somebody pointed that out once. I am honest. We were recently offered. I mean, if you want to talk about, I can share so many stories of where God acted before we even knew it. And I joked with somebody the other day that God showed up, even though he really never went anywhere. Maybe that's a title for a book. But recently, like within just a few weeks ago, we were offered an adaptive van for free. And I'm like, what?
Nice.
And the thing is, our van has what's called a valet seat. And so what happens is it's mechanical, so it can come out. It almost like swings outside the van, and then it can go down to almost the ground. And the reason that is so we can get him from his wheelchair into the van seat and in, you know, and it's easier. It's easier on our backs, and it's easier on him and everything like that. So we didn't need it. I mean, our van is paid for and, you know, but it was like, wow. But the way it was offered to us is like, I don't even know if you guys need this. This family's getting rid of it. It's been kept up, you know, and you know, it things like that. It's, you know, I think just get to know people, you know, and observe. And because people will see you sometimes, they'll see us interacting with Elias and we don't know they're watching, and they'll mention something. Of course, then you feel awkward because they're like, you're a great mom or dad. It's like, no, I'm just a dad or a mom just doing the thing that we're supposed to be doing. But you know, I would just say, ask, is there something you need? Is there something we can help with? And you know, we've gotten better at saying, yeah, we could have some help with this. But I think by just asking, you know, and getting to know,
I think it's a two-way street, right? It's the people who are trying to help, asking and talking and really finding out what the actual needs are, rather than just, hey, I assume that you need this. And then it's also the people who have the needs being willing to say what those needs are and being willing to accept the help. At times. And I think,
can I throw this out too?
And sometimes, sure.
It's something that I think we've encountered and too, is that, you know, just talk to a person, child, adult that has special needs. Don't be afraid. So one of the things that we love, and doctors will do it and specialists will do it, but other people, is when they talk to Elias. You know, or they'll reach out, you know, and we'll have people reach out their hand to take his hand and not realize that, you know, maybe he can't see them because his eyesight, there's a phrase for it that my wife knows, I don't, but they described it as like Swiss cheese, just is constantly moving. So he has more peripheral. And so if you come at him and shake, you know, reach out your hand, he doesn't know to take it, but the people that then will pick up his hand and say something or talk to him, that to me means more than anything, because they're addressing him as another person, as a soul that they see. And that to me would be a way to be, you know, just don't be afraid. Even if you don't understand what they're saying or being, they may can hear you. They may can observe you. They may know you're there and just, you know, treat them like they are.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the idea of, and I'm probably guilty of this as well, of looking past the person that has the needs, the special needs. And I think there's something about humanity, even if we throw out, you know, I think God created us this way to connect with other humans. But even if you didn't believe that, there's this connection that you can have with somebody.
Oh, yeah.
You may not even be speaking. Like, I've gone to all kinds of different countries, and I've spoken to people that I don't know their language, and they don't know my language. Yeah. But just through an ability of, like, looking and trying to connect. And I think that sometimes whenever there's a special needs child involved, as an adult especially, we're like, I don't really, you know, and we don't do it on purpose. We're not trying to put anyone down. We're just like, unfortunately, we're just freaked out by it. And we don't need to be, you know, like we can be a normal, like, it's just one of those things where we can connect with other humans and we can have that connection. Even if Elias can't feel or see you coming at him or any of that stuff, you can connect.
Yeah. Yeah. And visually, you know, I mean, there are folks that have disabilities and things like that, that are far more noticeable, I remember a church we used to go to, a family has three kids, the oldest and the youngest both have autism, completely different types of autism. In fact, their daughter is the oldest, and she is what I think is they refer to as a high functioning autistic person. And I mean, she's probably going to go to college. And then the youngest is different. And I remember it was one of the kids' classes at church. Nobody told me he had autism. And I just thought, man, this kid won't sit down and listen. And I kept saying, you need to stop walking around the room, you know, and then I found out later, oh, he's autistic. And I'm like, but then there was a part of me that felt okay that I wasn't treating him any differently, you know, but when you just looked at him, he didn't look like he had autism, you know, we get a word, you know, well, he looks normal. Okay, what does that mean? You know, I don't know.
And I think language, you know, is important, but it's really hard at times. Like, we do need to control what we say, with normal or not normal or whatever. But sometimes you're like, oh, I didn't mean to say that word, but the person hears it and they're like, oh, I see what you mean. You know, like, But yeah, I think probably thinking before we speak is probably a really good thing at times, right?
On a lot of levels.
Yeah.
I'm guilty of that all the time.
Yeah. And I was just reminded of, you know, the way that Jesus treated people who were different and the way that Jesus treats those with special needs. Like you said before, we all have special needs. We all have, especially the sin need, right? We all have that, and we are all in desperate need of forgiveness through Jesus, and we're all in desperate need of his love. And so as we think through the way that God has come down to us to befriend us and to connect with us, I think that in some small way, that's what we're doing whenever we seek to reach out to the least of these, when that's the reality is they're equal. They're still made in God's image. Your son is made in God's image. God loves him just as much as God loves me. And to get that in my brain as a person is incredible for me to think like that. And for me to teach my kids to think that way, I think is super important, because we don't see a whole lot of that. If anybody is usually different than us, then that means they're worse than us or they're lower than us. Yeah. That's the way that the worldview works, right? But the Christian worldview is, hey, you can be different than me, but you're still made in God's image.
We
are all equal in that. And so connecting on that level, I think, is something that's incredibly important. And so, you know, go ahead.
I was gonna throw this out. You know, one of my favorite verses is Ephesians 2:10, and you know, which just puts it out there that, you know, we are a masterpiece made by God, anew in Christ, to do things that He planned for us a long time ago. And what I love about that is, what's the qualifier of a masterpiece? It's who He created. So, you know, you're a masterpiece. People I don't know, Elias is a masterpiece. So when somebody goes to any child with disability or special needs, what's wrong with them? It's like, well, that, you know, he's still a masterpiece. She's still a masterpiece. I may not understand exactly what the plan is, but maybe I don't have to. Now, that's frustrating, but it can be. So yeah, I just see him as, you know, he's our little masterpiece. You know, we may have to work a little harder to get him in due places, but you know what? I can be cranky and hard to work with too.
Yeah. Sometimes, you know, you go to those fancy museums and you're like, this is a masterpiece? What's this doing here? Yeah. There are a whole lot of people that I know that I'm like, it's really hard for me to apply Ephesians 2:10 to some people, but not really, but you know, So, man, I'm just so happy that we had this conversation. Like, I've enjoyed getting to know you better, to have a chance to hear more about your story. Thanks so much for coming on. We're about out of time. I'm going to put every link to your YouTube channel and all that stuff in the description. So, you know, the three people that listen to this will, you know, at least find you and know where to find you. But dude, even if nobody listens to it, this has been good for me. So I really appreciate your time. Thank you for coming. Thank you for being here. And I'm praying for your family and for you and your wife as you guys navigate this, you know, these challenges. And I'm praying for little dude, and pray that God will just continue to use him throughout his life. And so thanks so much for being here, Kevin.
Grab me on, bro. I appreciate it.
Woo! Well, there you have it. A lot to think about, a lot to implement, a lot to be thankful for as parents of kids. I hope that you have a wonderful week. We'll see you in the next podcast. Thank you so much for watching or listening. We'll see you later.